thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Are you ready to discover what God is speaking to you today? It's not just a rhetorical question, it's an actual question. Are you ready to discover what God is speaking to you today? You see, it was earlier this week, our creative team was meeting and they were reading to me the script for this video, and they came to the end and they asked that question, are you ready to discover what God is speaking to you today? And I sort of pushed back in humility, in fear, in doubt, and I said, that's a little strong. Like, are we really going to ask our congregation, are you ready to hear what God is willing to speak to you today? That's like a high bar of expectation. Do you really think we can deliver on that? And I said, I'm not a communicator that can answer that kind of high bar. I don't think I can deliver a message that speaks to everyone today. And I pushed back. I said, can we soften that and rewrite that and soften that up? And their challenge was, well, aren't we a church that we believe that God speaks today? Well, yes, of course. Aren't we a church that believes that God has a unique message specific to everyone and wants to answer their questions? Well, yes, they are. We are that kind of church. And so I had to step back and kind of get in my prayer closet all week and seek God. God, do you really want us to ask such a high bar kind of question? Because if you do, then you need to be the high bar kind of God to answer that question here. And so as I prayed about it and thought, God, do I really want you to speak to me today? I challenged myself. I was reminded of an area of scripture where there's this story of a lame man who was laying next to a pool of water. This pool of water was known over the years of being a pool of water that provided miracles, that at random times, and you can read it in the scripture, that a miracle would happen and someone would be healed by this pool of water. But this man, who was lame, had been laying there for 38 years. He was hoping for a miracle. He was willing to lay there. He expected God to transform him and heal him. And for 38 years, he lay there lame, waiting to be healed. And the story goes, Jesus walks up to him and he asks this question. He asks a question that's so simple. He says, do you want to be healed? And the cynic in me, when I read through scripture, says, that was a dumb question, Jesus. Is that okay to say? That was a dumb question, Jesus. Well, he's God. He's safe enough to handle that sort of question from me. He's pretty strong. But I think, like, couldn't you have asked him a better question, or couldn't you ask him a different question, or did you really need to even ask him that question? He's been laying there for 38 years waiting for a miracle. But then I set the cynic aside and I say, wait a second, maybe Jesus wasn't simply asking, do you want to be healed? Maybe he was asking something far deeper. I wonder if he was asking him, do you know what comes with healing? Because when I heal you and tell you to take up your mat and walk and follow me, it requires action. It requires investment. It's going to require something of yourself that you haven't given for 38 years. And so I asked, as God reminded me of that story, I asked him, God, if I really want to hear your voice, would you simply ask me the dumb question, Jeff, do you want to hear my voice? And I would say, well, that's a dumb question, of course. And I think many of us would say inherently, whether we know God as creator or not, whether we follow him or not, that if there is a God of all creation and he wants us to hear his voice, that if he were to ask us, do you want to hear my voice, we would say yes, duh. But instead, I think he'd be asking a deeper question. Because he's ready to speak his voice to us, I think he'd be asking a deeper question that says, when I speak to you, are you willing to take action to the things I give of you? Are you willing to change and get up from your ignorance or your lameness or that position, whatever you find yourselves in? If I speak to your situation, are you willing to hear and follow my voice? And so my prayer this morning for us is that as God, I believe, is really preparing our hearts to hear from him, that we would open our hearts to hear from him. And I want to pray for us that we would put our hearts in a place where we're ready to hear from him. But before I do that, I want to thank those in our congregation that have been here for years and years, who have been part of our church that really does believe and have set the foundation for our church that we believe that God actively speaks into the life of his people that have laid that foundation that we can walk into it. In fact, it's one of our core values, one of our purposes, that we acknowledge the Holy Spirit in all we do. That foundation was laid in our church many, many years ago. And here we are reaping the benefits. So thank you for those that laid that foundation. Let's ask God to speak to us this morning and see what he has to say. Father God, we receive your profound, not dumb question, but profound question of, are we ready to discover what you're speaking to us today? And God, we know that's a high bar, but God, you are good and you are faithful, and you do want to speak to each and every one of us today. So we invite you in, we open our hearts to hear from you, and we say thank you for what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've been with us the last few weeks, you'll know that we started in this three-week series called Rediscover. In fact, you saw many people when you came in red shirts that say Rediscover across the front of it, and we simply wanted to take 3 weeks for some of us to remind ourselves of some things we already know, so rediscover some truths about some things. But we also know that for many of you, some of these concepts might be brand new, so we want you to discover these things along with us. So we're going to be rediscovering last week, this week, and next week. And last week, Pastor George opened the series by talking about rediscovering church. And you might have thought he should have spent the balance of his time speaking about church, but instead he pointed us that there's a twist. If we're to rediscover church, really we need to rediscover what church is all about, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we spent hardly any time talking about church, and all the time he spent talking about how Jesus wants an intimate personal relationship with each one of us, that he gave his life for a sacrifice for our sins, our mistakes, the mistakes of those who have committed against us, that we might come into union and relationship with the Creator of all things and have a personal, intimate relationship with God. And that is made possible through the work of Jesus on the cross. That was rediscovering churches about Jesus. Well, today, if you pull out your notes, you'll see we're saying rediscover Jesus. And you might think inherently or naturally that we're going to walk through what, you know, Jesus' birth, what he was as a boy and what he did then, and then kind of his ministry on the earth. But we're going to actually twist it as well. If we're going to rediscover Jesus, we're going to rediscover what he says about us today, what he says about speaking to us today, and how that actually works. Because Jesus, as God in the flesh, is no longer here walking the earth. He was a real historical figure that was true, walked the earth, but then he gave his life on a cross for our sins, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. So what would he say to us today if he were to say some things to us? And we're going to find that in Scripture. Open up your Bibles to the book of John. It's one of four narratives of the life of Jesus, four Gospels as we call it. It's probably my favorite of all four. And I want to help us rediscover some things about Jesus this morning that either is a reminder of things we've known and maybe forgotten, or a new discovery for some of us in here today. First of all, we want to answer the question to rediscover, what does Jesus say about his voice? Well, in John 10, Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling them that we're with him there, but it's been recorded in Scripture, so he's saying it to us as well. He uses this story that he's a shepherd, and he wants to take care of his sheep who are his followers. That's us. And he says this, the man who enters the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. See, the watchman opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. It's really simple. It's really straightforward. I don't have to unpack the original language here to discover what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm the good shepherd, and you are my sheep, and I want you to follow me. And how I'm going to get you to follow me is I'm going to speak to you. And I'm going to know you by name, and I'm going to call you by name and speak to you, and you're going to hear my voice, and I'm going to lead you out. So he establishes the idea that he, as the creator of all things, is speaking, and he expects us to be listening. It's really simple. He continues later in that story in John 10, 27. He says this, my sheep listen to my voice. We have a responsibility to listen to his voice. He says, I know them, and they follow me. So real simple, let's just discover or rediscover that Jesus says about speaking, that he will be speaking to us, and that we're to tune our hearts to his voice, and to follow him because he's going to give us direction. That's what he says about his voice. It's simple. It's right there. So next we want to rediscover what Jesus says about us today. He continues to tell his disciples all sorts of great things. And he decides to tell them, I'm not going to be around forever. I'm on the face of the earth with you now, but I will have to leave. He knew what was coming in his own story, but he promises something to them. He promises that he won't leave them. He promises that there is another, and he says this in John 14. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Another translation says an advocate. Another says a comforter to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. You see, what Jesus says is it may be a bit mysterious, this comforter, this counselor, the Holy Spirit. They won't see him because they don't know him, but he says this to his followers. He says this to you and I. But you know him, for he lives within you, and he will be in you. You see, Jesus says, not only am I going to be speaking your voice, and my heart is that you would hear it, because I'm going to know you by name and speak directly to you, but that you would hear it and listen and follow me. But he says, I'm going to leave with you the Holy Spirit that will live in you and be with you and guide you and be a representative of me speaking to you each and every day of your life. Again, it's really simple. It's right there. I'm going to give you someone, me, in the person of the Holy Spirit to be speaking to you, who lives right within you. So let's continue to see what Jesus says about relationship with him. We press further into the Gospel of John. It's found in John 15. He's continuing to share these truths with his disciples. It's this profound experience they're having as he's unpacking all things. And he's saying it to us. And he begins to tell them what relationship with him looks like. He says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And then in verse 5, he says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, he says, I'm a vine, you're the branches, that through me provision comes, through me growth comes, through me is all things. Apart from me, a branch can't grow. It's required to be attached to the vine. And his expectation, his explanation for how we're to listen to him is, I'm going to be speaking, you're going to be listening, you're going to be following me, I'm going to leave with you the Holy Spirit to live in you, and then I'm going to be a vine, you are the branches. But he says, remain in me. Another translation calls it to abide in me. To abide means to make residence, to take up and become comfortable with, to commune with, to have residence with. So when he says, I'm going to give you my Spirit, it's not just this object that sits there. It's something to commune with, that the Spirit of God wants to take up residence in our hearts, and we are to entreat him and invite him to do so. And then we're to take residence in who the Holy Spirit is, because he is our comforter and our counselor, and we're to remain as the branches, as he is the vine guiding us through life. So Jesus is speaking. We hear his voice. We follow him. He gives us a comforter and counselor, and then he wants that comforter and counselor to take up residence within us. It's very simple. I'm going to have you turn on your notes, not to the inner section. We'll use that later. I'm going to have you turn to the back page. And we're going to rediscover what it simply means for something or someone to be speaking, but in this case, in particular, what it means for God to be speaking. You see the definition there on your notes. Speaking is the action of conveying information or expressing one's thoughts or feelings. Often we do this through our spoken voice or our written word, but I was joking with Jeanette this week. She asked me not to share this story, and then I did, and so now she's given me permission to do so. But Jeanette doesn't always have to speak with her actions or her voice. She can speak with a facial expression. She's very good at it. It stops our family in our tracks. It's kind of this, smile turned upside down, but it's not a frown. It's a don't go there kind of look. And she's the most mild-tempered, kind of gracious person I've ever met, but when she's serious about something, we see that expression. In fact, our son David, who's 9, says, Mom, you're giving me the face again. He knows he's done something he shouldn't have done. We crack up about it in our family, but the point of the story is that it doesn't require a voice to be speaking. Sometimes we get twisted around this idea that if God is speaking to us and I've never heard of his audible voice, then he must not want to speak to me. Well, Jeanette doesn't have to use an audible voice to get us to take attention, whether that's to stop what we're doing or to do more of what we're doing. In fact, I was thinking about it this week, and there are many times where I'm away from Jeanette and I'm in a situation and I have this sensation that Jeanette would say to me, don't say that or do that there, hold your tongue. and she'd be giving me wisdom. And in some ways, her voice is speaking even though she's not there, because she's a great person of wisdom for me in life. And there's other times I'm in a situation where this God is calling me to a step of boldness to do something or say something, and I'll just hear her whisper, "Yeah, Jeff, follow God's voice in that." So I'm hearing her voice even though she's not speaking. Speaking is simply the action of conveying information or expressing one's thoughts or feelings. And God wants to do this to us, for us, in every situation we find ourselves in, even if it's not an audible voice. Let me tell you about who Jesus is and what it means that he's speaking. Your first fill in there is logos. Logos. It comes from John 1:1. Let me read to you what John, we're still in John, what John says when he opens up his story about Jesus. You see, John is a crafty writer. He writes some things to open up the story of Jesus that relate to Genesis 1:1. He does this on purpose. He follows the same style from a literature standpoint. And he says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." He's actually saying, you know that account that all of us who have followed the Jewish tradition, that account we know about the beginning? In the beginning was God, and he created all things, that he spoke creation into existence. He said that thing, that experience, that's who Jesus is. In the beginning was the logos. That's where that word comes from. It's the original word for word there. In the beginning was the logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. You see, he says, this Jesus I'm going to tell you about through this whole story that I'm writing down, he was with God, and he is God, and he is the Logos of God. What is Logos? You see it on your notes there. It is the written, spoken word of God. It is the thought and reason behind that. It is the very nature, the very substance, the essence of God revealed. So when John says that Jesus is the Logos, he's saying that he is the essence, the substance, the very nature of God revealed to us. You see, God was someone we couldn't actually see unless you're Moses and the bush in front of you burned. But for the average person, you couldn't see God. John is saying you can now see God. You know his essence, his substance, his nature. Everything Jesus does and says is a representation of who God is toward us. Jesus gave his life on a cross for our mistakes. That's a pretty great representation of a God who loves us even to his own difficulty and tragedy and death on a cross. You see, Jesus is the Logos, and what he says is, I want to speak to you. I want to represent God to you, the very essence of who God is, the substance is who God is. And when I speak to you, I want you to listen and follow. I want you to be like a vine, and I want my Spirit, who I will leave with you, to take up residence in your heart. God is going to be speaking to us. It should be our expectation. So real quickly, I'm going to walk us through what are some of the biblical and modern methods that God uses to speak. I'm going to help us rediscover some of these for those of us that need a reminder, or help some of us discover these that have never seen this before. And let me first say this. This is not an exhaustive list. There are many more areas in Scripture you can find, and there's many more stories. This is just some samples for you. And let me warn you, too, I'm just going to like buzz through a couple of these stories. And you're going to think, well, I didn't know that story, and I need more background on that story. I've referenced them here, so you can go look this up this week at home and read through the Scripture and see what it says about God speaking. But first and foremost, one of the ways God speaks is through Scripture. Simply through Scripture. Too often, Christians have used the idea that God's voice speaks to abuse people, to harm people, to get them, honestly, to steal from people. To say, God said this, therefore you should do this. Or God said this, therefore you should give to me in this way. They've taken God's voice and they've stolen it and made it their own. And let me just assure you of this. Anytime God speaks, it's got to line up with Scripture, because ultimately this is his written, spoken word to us. But not only is that kind of the guideline for other ways God speaks, God actually does speak through Scripture. So let me give you a couple of my favorite verses. Again, it's not exhaustive, but Psalm 119:11, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." That's what the psalmist cries out, that I can hide the word in my heart and it prevents me from sinning against you, that it keeps me on the path, that it tells me not to go this way or that way, that the word can be alive and active in our lives, speaking to us when we're in a place of temptation or decision. Psalm 119:11, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Psalm 119:32, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. You see, when Christ comes in and sets our heart free, it gives us this new sense of life that we want to run right where God wants us to run. And when we do that, we can run in the path of his commands, that his commands guide a path to us and for us. We run in the path of his commands because he set our heart free. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. It's this idea that scripture can literally illuminate the next step in front of us in life and whatever we're facing, that his word can guide us as we walk. Scripture can speak to us. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all God's word, all of scripture is God-inspired. And it's good for teaching and correcting and rebuking and growing and transforming people who love God, that every part of God's word is good for us because it's God-inspired. It speaks to us. It transforms us. This is a biblical and modern method of God speaking. We'll continue through these. The next one is the inner knowing, the inner voice. If the residence of our heart acknowledges and embraces God's Spirit in it, then there can be this inner sense of knowing and voice. We see it first in 1 Kings chapter 19. Again, I'll go through the story. Elijah has just defeated the prophets of Baal. He's on the run to save his life because he's just seen this miraculous defeat when God sent fire down and consumed the altar. And he's asking God, what's next? What's next? Save my life. He's feeling sorry for himself. And God says, go out on the mountainside and I'm about to speak to you. And God sends this amazing windstorm and it destroys the rocks. And God says to Elijah, I'm not in that windstorm. And then there's an earthquake and the whole earth shakes. And God reminds Elijah, I'm not in that earthquake. And then he sends this crazy fire, ravenous fire. And he says to Elijah, I'm not in that fire. He says, but Elijah, I speak to you in a still, small voice. And although Elijah was this amazing prophet who could call fire down from heaven, he had to learn that God spoke in a still, small voice if he was going to complete his journey. You see, it's also just, I'm not Elijah, we're not Elijah types, we're not prophets necessarily in the way he was. We're just people trying to follow after Christ. And in Acts, you see followers of Christ hear that small voice inside. They hear God direct them in unique ways. It's found in Acts 16, 6 and 7. I'll read it real quick. It's Paul and Silas and Timothy. It says this, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. You see, aren't they followers of God? Aren't they trying to do good things in ministry? Aren't they going to try and tell everyone they can about the gospel? But God's Spirit keeps them out of the province of Asia. It's a small inner voice knowing where to go, where not to go. It says in verse 7, when they came to the border of my Asia, they tried to enter, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do so. So following God's voice, this inner knowing can direct our paths as it does for Paul and Timothy and Silas. Not only is there an inner knowing voice, but there's an authoritative voice. We don't experience this one as often, but it can happen. We see it in the life of Samuel. It's found in 1 Samuel 3. And let me just point out that at this point in the story, Samuel's a young boy who's been dedicated to serve in the temple by his mother. He's asleep one night and God's Spirit speaks and he hears the audible voice of God. He goes to Eli and asks, what is that? Eli has sort of passed his prime, no longer ministering how God wanted him. And he said, it might be the Lord, go back to sleep. And he turns over. But Samuel, from that moment, begins to hear the voice of God audibly and later becomes a guide to the nation of Israel as an ability to hear God's voice. Let me just say this, that you don't have to be like super ultra mature in your faith to hear God's voice. You can be a baby in following the Lord. You can be a young boy like Samuel, and God's voice can literally speak to you and guide you. Acts 9 right there, authoritative voice, it's the story of Paul, who was originally Saul, who was persecuting Christians, was on his way to Damascus, and God literally speaks audibly and knocks him down and says, you are persecuting me. He speaks to his life and transforms him audibly. The next one is visions and dreams. God, often we need to rediscover or discover that God speaks through visions and dreams. In Daniel, he often is revealing the mysteries of the dreams and experiences of those around him. Later in Acts 10, you see it listed there. It's a man just like you and me named Ananias. And his story is connected with Paul. God speaks to Paul audibly as he's still Saul. He's on the road to Damascus, to about to become Paul. Ananias is this just follower of Jesus. And God speaks to him in a dream and says, there's a man coming, and I want you to go to him, and I want you to tell him that I love him. I want you, Ananias, to speak to him, and his name is Saul. Ananias knows this name. Saul has a reputation. He actually carries papers from the high council in Jerusalem to arrest followers of Jesus to persecute them. Ananias knows this, and he says to God, but do you know who you're sending me? Kind of one of those dumb questions. Do you know who you're sending me to see? Yes, I do, but I still want you to go talk to him. The story ends with Ananias ministering to Saul. The scales fall off, and Paul, who is Saul, becomes transformed. He speaks to us in visions and dreams. Now, he didn't speak in fire, earthquake, or wind with Elijah, but he does at times. That's your next one. Fire, wind, cloud, and glory. Isaiah 6 is this great moment where Isaiah has this vision, and the throne room of God is filled with smoke. The doorpost and the threshold shake at God's power and glory. In Acts 2, when the Spirit of God falls on believers for the very first time, the story tells us that there's like tongues of flames above their heads as they begin to share and speak and prophesy in other languages, that sometimes God speaks in fire and wind and cloud and glory. The next one is angels. Sometimes God will send a messenger, an angel, to speak to us. Abraham saw that when he was about to sacrifice his son. He was being obedient. The angel comes and speaks to him and interrupts that moment. In Acts 5, I love this story. It's like, it seems not profound because the angel isn't having this great dialogue with the guys, but in Acts 5, there's a jailbreak. Literally, it's like three verses. The angel shows up, breaks them out of jail, and tells them to go tell some people in the streets about Jesus, and they do. And you think, the angel like created a jailbreak. That's like super cool. We could use that once in a while. So angels is one of the ways God uses to speak. And then finally, spiritual gifts. It doesn't just happen around us or to us, but it can happen through us. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us about spiritual gifts that he gives to each one of us. God in his sovereignty gives to each one of us. Paul tells us this now about spiritual gifts, brothers. I do not want you to be ignorant. In verse 4, he says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. That means it's for all of us. He says this now to each one, that's all of us, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. It's through us for the good of others. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith, the gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, an interpretation of tongues. He sums it up by saying, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives to each one just as he determines. Where God can speak to us, sometimes he speaks through us, and he uses these gifts to do so. Two quick stories where this happened to me in the last week. I'm just an average person trying to follow God's voice as best I can, and I was in a moment with one of our pastors who was about to have a difficult conversation with a friend, and God gives us all a natural wisdom. I believe he gives leaders a natural wisdom. I didn't have any natural wisdom for him in this case, but I said, can I pray for you? And as I prayed for him, I just prayed something that came to mind because I just was praying. And I used a certain word picture. And when we finished praying, one of our pastors turned to me and said, that's exactly what I needed to hear. God used you to speak to me. I said, what are you talking about? I just prayed. And he said, that word picture you gave is the exact same word picture that this friend of mine has used with me for the 30 years of us knowing each other. And he said, I know how I'm going to start this conversation because God spoke to me through you. I had nothing to do with it. There was no wisdom. I didn't put any effort into it. But God used me to be a conduit of him speaking to my friend, one of our pastors. You see, this morning it happened to me as well. I was out for an early morning run as the sun was rising, and my running is one of the very few times I get to be alone, so I'm very focused and prayerful when I'm running, and I don't like to be disrupted or distracted, and I think God knows this, so he tries to get a hold of me in these moments. But I was running, and I saw a man walking through our community fully dressed in a suit and dress shoes, and I'm thinking, this is not a normal experience to have a fully dressed up man walking through the streets early in the morning. So I decided to sort of tune in. God, what's going on here? Do I need to be aware of something? Can I just be praying for this situation? And as I came along the side, he was across the street as I was passing him. I felt like I was supposed to just call out. It just came at me, hey, are you okay? And so I see his face and I call, hey, are you okay? And he gave me one of those yes answers where I knew it wasn't a yes. And so I kept trying. I said, are you sure? Are you okay? He said the same thing, yes. And I thought, okay, God, I have to stop my watch. So I stop my running watch, and I just walk over to him, and I say, hey, I just feel like I'm supposed to come over here and encourage you. Are you really okay? And he said, I got ditched last night from homecoming. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's no fun. I said, what school do you go to? And he said, Arvada West. And he said, our friends ditched a number of us, and we had to, like, stay the night at our house, and now I've got to walk home. And I just, God gave me some words. I said, you know, when I was in high school, and I said, I don't know if you're going to take advice from some guy, strange, sweaty guy running by, but I want to tell you something. When I was in high school, I had lots of friends through sports and school and that kind of thing, but I was super shy and scared, and I felt like everything that happened, if it didn't go this way or that way, that it was going to define my whole life. And I want to tell you, whether you believe it or not, there is life after high school, and I know this hurts and stings, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but there's life after high school, and I want to encourage you, it's going to be okay. And so I asked to pray with him, and I put my hand on him, and I prayed. I don't know if it helped him, I don't know if it encouraged him, but I know God spoke something into his heart through that prayer and through that experience, and I took off running, started my watch again, and told him to enjoy the sunrise. See, God can use those things and can use each one of us in mighty ways, and I want to point you to that quote. I had to write it down this week because I didn't want you to miss it. Hearing God's voice is not a mystical experience for the super spiritual. There is no qualification or sense of maturity that needs to be there. Rather, it's a natural yet dynamic experience of being in relationship with a supernatural God. I want to invite you to experience his voice today, and what I'm going to ask you to do is to grab the 4x6 card. You were given a blank 4x6 card this morning. I want you to grab this card, and I want to open your notes to the middle where it says, Word of God, speak. I really believe God wants to speak to you this morning, and we're going to give a few moments as an exercise to allow God to speak directly to your heart. One of the ways I've seen God speak to me over the years is when I journal. And I love to journal. I've got journals full of handwritten notes. And what I do often is I'll read scripture that might address something I'm facing at the moment, and I'll just begin to write out the truth of what God is saying about that scripture in my situation. And before I know it, I'm writing things that God is saying to me that I needed to hear. And it's just coming out in the pen. I want to ask you to be willing to do that this morning. But let me challenge you. I don't want you to write any to-dos. I don't want you to write any next steps. I want you to think about a certain situation you're facing. Just one situation. And for 30 seconds, say, God, I need help in this situation. I want you to read through this scripture and then begin to write what God might be saying to you through this scripture. But before you do that, some of you might be a little nervous or doubtful, or why are we taking time to do this in church, where I think we'd miss the mark if I talked to you about God speaking but didn't give a chance for him to speak. And I was sharing this story and this situation with my wife this week, and she reminded me of how she's been in your shoes and how God really encouraged her. So I'm going to call my wife Jeanette up here. Jeanette, come on up. She wants to share with you some things that I like to clap for. I love you, sweetie. Jeanette and I have been together 20 years, married 15, and there's no person in my life I've learned how to hear God's voice more from than from Jeanette. So I think she has something to say to you.
As Jeff was preparing this week and sharing about hearing the voice of God, I just kind of stopped and I looked at him and I said, you know, one of the hardest parts for me in hearing the voice of God, and something I really struggle with, is being silent and listening. And I petition God all the time, and I pray all the time, and I ask God, I need you to answer me, and I need you to show me. And in my busy life, I feel like I do that. And then I'm done praying, I turn and I go about my busy day, and I don't stop and listen to what he has to say to me. And I reminded Jeff, and I asked him if he remembered it. About 5 years ago, we had an opportunity to hear a speaker on hearing the voice of God. And that night, we had to do an exercise similar to this one, which was he asked us to spend 2 minutes praying and asking God for answers on a specific subject or anything that we were needing. And then we needed to sit in silence for 20 minutes and listen to God's voice. And I panicked. I remember sitting in that room panicking because I thought to myself, what if God doesn't speak to me? What if he says something to me I don't want to hear? What if the enemy tries to say something to me and I get scared? What if I can't distinguish between my voice and his voice? And I got so scared. And I know there's probably a number of you in here that are scared at what Jeff is about to ask us to do. But through that 20 minutes, I just wanted to encourage you, through that 20 minutes, God didn't speak to me about that subject that I prayed about. God spoke to me about what he thought of me. And I guess I needed to hear that. And by the end of the 20 minutes, I was bawling and I was crying because here I thought I was so scared to hear his voice, but what he needed to say to me was so loving. And I just wanted to encourage each one of you that God's voice is so sweet. And it's he will never speak anything to you that doesn't align with his word. And as I've walked this journey of trying to hear God's voice and learning how to hear his voice, I've kind of gotten a picture of an old radio, the ones that have like the tuner knobs. And sometimes I just need to tune the radio station. And sometimes we get static. And sometimes we get a clear, you know, voice. And sometimes there's silence. And then all of a sudden the station comes into focus. And when I'm learning, and as I've walked, when I'm really trying to hear God's voice, I tune my heart into the Holy Spirit. And I ask God, God, I need to hear your voice, and I need to tune my heart into you. So I just wanted to share that little bit of information just to encourage you that God's voice is so sweet.
Thanks, sweetheart.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.